I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll level with you. We've done this intro three times because I couldn't get it right. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. I'm Pete. I'm joined by Luke and Jim. Shush. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, mate.
Hello, Peter.
You all right? Been up for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be so louche.
Have you taken that gobstopper out of your mouth?
Brilliant reminder of what a great job Marcus does.
It really is. Yeah. He's so fleet of foot when it comes to doing radio and podcastery. So, welcome to the show. It's good to have you along once again. You all right? You had a good week?
It's been
2 days since we did the last ramble. It's exciting.
I know. It's good because of the new year. It's been good.
Fixture congestion.
I'm still buzzing. And Pete, you could have written it off and said you're still buzzing after that game last night.
I know, right?
Fantastic.
Well, let's talk about the game. Let's pile straight in. Arsenal 2, Arsenal 2, Chelsea 2. It happened.
Who's done this to you?
What have you been doing in this 4 hours since you got up?
We've done like a Luke and Pete show in between. I was all right in that, wasn't I? And suddenly when it's the big show.
I presume you knew how to speak, though, Luke. Right?
Yeah.
He was fine.
An incredible final half hour, Jim. You must have been pumped after that one.
Yeah.
When Kylo Ren slotted home.
Yeah, he does look like Kylo Ren. We've discussed this before and I won't have it that he doesn't. It was a wonderful goal. It'd be nice if Arsenal didn't need to do that. But at the same time, I am sort of enjoying the drama of the home games against the bigger sides. It's been brilliant. If we can't win a game, at least make it really, really entertaining.
It's worth the entrance fee, certainly.
I enjoyed the game.
Nothing is worth the entrance fee.
That is true, actually, yeah. I enjoyed the game tremendously, Pete, to answer your question.
Mm. An incredible 33 chances.
I know.
During that match.
There was no shortage of incident, really, of different types, not just goal scoring opportunities and things like that. And I think you made a good point in the running order you put here, which you said after a hectic Christmas schedule, did anyone expect such a game?
Mm.
Because, I mean, what tends to happen, I think, or in my mind at least, and maybe people can tell me I'm wrong, but in my mind, I think towards this part of the season, teams do get a bit fatigued.
Yeah.
You do see teams just try not to lose a little bit more. But this wasn't like that at all. It was a fantastic advert for the game. I really enjoyed it. And in addition to this, Arsene Wenger's having a bit of a time of it at the moment as well. He's gone completely Alex Jones, InfoWars, conspiracy theory mad.
Well, I think before the game, Conte said, like, if you feel anything, just go over. Don't even have to pretend you've been fouled. Just sit down if you want. They will give us a penalty today.
He's made
a rod for his back. I don't think it was a penalty. I think it was a frustrating awarding of a penalty. But I think he should perhaps wind his neck in a little bit because, you know, it's not going to serve any positive purpose. And I saw an amazing stat today, which is that Arsenal now conceded 23 Premier League penalties in a row. Wojciech Szczesny saved the last one in the Premier League in 2013, in August 2013.
Peter Czech's never saved one for Arsenal.
That's not great. That needs improving. Ideally, you don't give so many away. But
yeah, well, if you're going to concede that many, you need a keeper who can save them, I suppose, isn't it?
I'm going to disagree with you, Jim, as far as I think it was a penalty. And I think the replay shows, in my opinion, that, you know, he kicked the bottom of his foot. Hazard makes the most of it, but we're used to seeing that from players. My point re-Wenger, though, is that he can say what he likes after the game and he can watch it back on the video and stuff. The idea was, to me, that based on his comments leading up to the game, you know he's got a bee in his bonnet about that stuff already.
Yeah.
And the way he reacted when the referee awarded the penalty halfway through the second half, Wenger was going crazy, and there is absolutely no way on earth he could have seen it. So he's all, even if that was a complete stonewaller, he was completely cleaned out by Bellerin. Wenger probably would have reacted the same because he's got this idea in his mind that everyone's against him and they're going to give penalties.
Well, is this perhaps him trying to maybe cultivate what we've seen Jose Mourinho do?
Well,
at
that's
United
what I was going to say. But he's tried this before and it never seems to translate. It never seems to work. The players never. I can't imagine him going back to his players and going. Like instead of like hauling them over the course, sort of going, oh, they're all against us. Let's fight. But I just with him, I just don't see it.
Well, I think that's not Wenger's personality, is it? That's not the brand he's promoted over the years. The brand of Wenger is he plays this brilliant, sort of almost altruistic, fluid, attractive football. So if you then suddenly try and do this kind of siege mentality thing, it's not right. That hasn't been built and that hasn't been cultivated. So you can't just switch that on or off.
Apart from the non-penalty save. So to speak, from Czech. To be honest, it wasn't that great a penalty. It was a bit of a dinked kind of job.
But he watched
could
him.
Have easily
he watched
yeah,
him.
Yeah, exactly.
Hazard does that a lot. He watches the keeper the whole time. Mm. And as soon as he makes it, I mean, these athletes are pretty, you know, when it comes to sport, they're obviously very, very perceptive. Mm. As soon as he moves a muscle, he knows.
He knows exactly what to
also,
incredible,
I think,
really.
Eden Hazard has incredibly intimidating thighs.
And he's got a huge arse as well.
Yeah, he's packed down.
He's got a lot in the trunk.
He's got a hell of a lot in the trunk.
It's a very powerful lower part of the body.
Very much so. You open that trunk up, it's just muscle. Right. Just pure muscle.
A trunk muscle.
Intimidating for a goalkeeper.
A question I had in mind for you, Jim, as the Arsenal fan in the room and someone who has all my Arsenal questions directed at.
And our hearts.
We talked quite a lot more recently about Jose Mourinho and the fact that we refer him to Pep Guardiola and how well Guardiola's improved in proven players at Man City, and perhaps Mourinho isn't doing that. A number of years ago, you and I had a discussion about whether Arsene Wenger improves players or not.
Mm.
And if you look at that lineup that played last night, he's not really getting the best out of a lot of those players, is he? Is this what's underpinning the whole Wenger out movement? Not just the fact that they're not winning enough outside of the FA Cup, but
there's
the fact
no development.
The reason I came to this conclusion, by the way, is because I was reading about Diego Costa, who we're going to come on to a bit later, I expect, and say that the reason they got Diego Costa is because they missed, part of the reason for it was they missed out on Lacazette because of the transfer ban that came in at Atletico Madrid. And you have to make a decent argument. It's hypothetical, but you have to make a decent argument that Diego Simeone would be getting huge amounts more out of Lacazette than Wenger is at the moment.
I think that's perhaps a little bit... I think the point is generally fair, but I think Lacazette is going through a little bit of a goal drought, but he is making chances for himself. He's been a bit unlucky in terms of...
That turn and shot he did
well.
Was quite nice.
Yeah, he's... I think... I'm not that worried about Lacazette. I think he'll keep plugging away, and I think the goals will start to come for him again, and we'll see a bit more from him. But in general, I think there are certainly players that have perhaps stagnated a little bit. I mean, Hector Bellerin has had a lot of criticism. He obviously scored last night and is capable of putting in very eye-catching performances because on
he's
his quick. Day, he's a very quick player.
He's not been that good recently, though, has he?
No, he hasn't. I mean, he's not been sort of terrible, but he has... he's certainly not been at the standards we've seen from him. Aaron Ramsey is another one who is kind of prone to kind of, you know, just kind of quite muddy patches of form. So
he didn't play last night, did he?
No, he didn't. No, he's injured at the moment. But Ozil comes in and out of form. He's in very good form at the moment. I think generally the problem is, as it has been for so long, is just everyone's too comfortable at Arsenal. Yeah. You know it. I mean, it's,
the standards aren't perhaps as high as they should be.
Well, I think it's because that squad... know the reaction that's going to come to every possible set of scenarios because I've been through it all before.
Yeah,
so I think there's certainly a fairness to that.
And also, speaking of transfer bans, Arsene Wenger has imposed his own transfer ban on a lot of Arsenal for a little time.
I've decided we're having a transfer ban.
Well, they have signed the Greek defender Konstantinos Mavropanos straight out on loan, though. Straight out.
Which implies
get in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, he's probably thinking, I'll be here for another 10 years. I'll develop him away from the...
Pete's a Newcastle fan. He doesn't put any stock at all in planning for the future.
No, God no.
I want it now.
Immediacy.
I haven't seen him play, I'll be honest. He's gone out on loan to Werder Bremen, but I did a bit of reading around him. He's very, very highly rated. So, I mean, it's a good signing for them long term.
I don't have a problem with that. It's so easy to jump on the bandwagon and go, oh, they're not thinking about the immediate future, which is, you know, I think a separate issue. I think long-term planning and short-term planning can be done at the same time.
Of course. And going back to the Lacazette thing, I suppose I don't mean to jump on his back, but I just don't think he looks a very effective player, and he hasn't done for a good few weeks
now. Well, his link-up play has been very good with Sanchez and Ozil in particular.
But this is a player who was linked to come into England for or linked to a big move for quite a long time. Had his best goal scoring return in his final season at Lyon, and a lot of those goals he was scoring were big. You just score relentlessly. And I know the Premier League is probably quite a higher standard, but the difference between France and England in terms of style and stuff isn't that big. I just thought he'd be a bit more effective. And I personally think under a more hungry manager, shall we say, I think he'd be more effective.
He's also got the problem, if you look at the goals he scored so far, to minutes, he's been hauled off a lot. And that's obviously been a problem.
Well, he didn't start for a vast swathe of the start of the season, did he?
No, so, against Liverpool he didn't start, which was controversial.
But then he kind of weirdly looked like their most effective striker.
Yeah, but Wenger went for a phase, Pete, a short phase, admittedly, because he's not been there that long, Lacazette. But he went for a phase, and we talked about this, Jim, of not picking him for the big games. Mm. It's like, well, you just signed him for 57 million quid or whatever it is.
I know, it's an overly cautious approach, I think, sometimes. Yeah. And that's something that Wenger's suffered with for a long time.
Mm. On the Chelsea side of the field, though, I mean, Hazard was very, very good. Yeah. They played well. It was a great game.
They had their chances, though. I mean, they probably could have been out of sight.
And do you know what? I was just going to say, talking about being a good advert for the game, certainly in this country, I am sure this happens in other leagues as well. But for me, the calling card of the Premier League is something like exactly what happened last night, where Bellerin scores in the 92nd minute to equalise. Drama, everything goes mad. Mm. Before the Arsenal fans have even stopped celebrating, Zappa Costa's hit the crossbar.
Yeah. Oh,
the
other end,
it's crazy.
The
do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that time when England played Argentina and Sol Campbell had that goal disallowed.
Yeah.
And everyone piled down the other end of the pitch and Argentina almost scored.
Don't.
Yeah, it's like that.
I mean, on that kind of in the crossbar, I mean, obviously Costa scored within 5 minutes in the Copa del Rey of him appearing on the field
and then hurt his leg, didn't he?
And then hurt his leg, but he was all right. He walked it off in the end. Like Conte must have been like, oh, if we only had Costa. Costa would have hit that.
Conte hates Costa.
I know, but he would have hit that.
I don't think he thinks about him too much. He's out of his mind now. I think the thing about the crossbar you say is great. We've spoken so many times about that kind of weird kind of mist that almost descends on certain games, where the 3-3 with Liverpool at the Emirates is a perfect example of this, where it feels like anything could happen, and that seems to translate onto the pitch. And I think the performances of the two goalkeepers negated that a bit, because obviously that's not a real thing. Like, there's not some weird thing happening with reality, but it very much feels like it is, because all of the variables looking that way on the pitch. Yeah. But those two goalkeepers perhaps stopped that being another absolute ding-dong. It still was. But
yeah, you're right. They made some good save. The curious thing is the ebb and flow of the Premier League over the years. You guys will well remember, as well as I do, that we went through that phase a number of years ago where games between the top four were just dull. They were nil-nils. Yeah. One was really drab.
They cancel each other out.
Partly the Mourinho effect, partly people didn't want to lose. Yeah. And what's happening now is actually a reverse of that. The games between the top six are seeming like they're brilliant, but the lower league, parts of the division teams are really trying their hardest to not give anything away. So it's almost flipped on its head.
Also, I mean, you know, if you have to go back a few years to think about this, but it used to be Man United and one other, and for a time that was Arsenal, and people would talk about the top two and disregard the Champions League qualification places. Then that became the top four, and now the idea of a top six is mad.
Yeah.
The idea that the sixth team in the country is something to celebrate is crazy, but it's testament to the quality that we have in the league.
Are
now.
You saying that in 10 years' time we're going to be talking about the top 14? you know, Arsenal go. Arsenal play Forest this weekend in the Cup, the FA Cup, and Forest are currently 11-2 with Bet365 to beat them.
So I mean, there's going to be some churn, isn't there?
£10 return, £65 including the stake, Pete.
There's going to be some churn when it comes to the Arsenal lineup,
and perhaps some churn return. I wonder if we're going to see Jack Wilshere again, because
he was great.
I want to put a word in for him, because I thought he was absolutely fantastic, and he's been great since coming back into the team. I remember a few months ago we were talking about Wilshere, and I remember we said that, you know, when December comes and games start coming thick and fast, he's going to be needed in that team, and he has stepped up well. The lofted pass for Sanchez against Palace was excellent. Mm. He's put some end product in, which has been great.
Yeah, I think me and Luke were discussing on the WhatsApp page, where he sort of dinked a ball out to the right wing in between two players, and it was just such a beautiful little kind of just off the end of his toe.
He can do that.
He's such a cultured footballer when he wants to be, and his performances for Bournemouth were very different to how he slots in.
It's funny, isn't it?
It's really weird. Like, he didn't flatter to deceive, but he wasn't like amazing.
He was
at
a lot more functional.
Bournemouth. Yeah,
and it seems like I think he really wants to be at Arsenal, and you know, however much people have sort of criticised his motivation in the past, you see he feels at home there, and he really, really wants to sort of like have a second chance at making it a sort of legacy there. And if he keeps playing like this, then he's an asset to the team, and I think he stays in that team. But it's just about staying fit. The problem
is how functional England are going to be in the summer. Will we take him?
And you're right, Jim, you're absolutely right to bring up Wilshere's performance. I think he was excellent. And inevitably, this conversation about England again always comes up. And I'll say what I've said all season, really, which is in that midfield, if you're going to play a two in there, you need someone like Dyer. who I would pick over Henderson. And you need someone who can pick up the ball on the half turn, driving them forward. Mm. You know, if Jack Wilshere carries on the way he's going, and importantly, most importantly, I would suggest, stays in the team and continues to perform and stays injury free. Mm. The reality is, and this is not faint praise for Wilshere, this is just reality.
He'll be playing in a top four team very well.
But there's no other candidates to do that role.
Yeah.
People were talking about
he can slot him behind Rooney.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe Rooney fancies that position himself.
Well, yeah, you know.
But you know, listen, it's no point saying it again. You know what I mean.
It's his to lose. We'll move on to the Merseyside Derby. Friday night FA Cup fun, people. It's happening.
The third round of the FA Cup is, without question, my favourite weekend of the domestic season.
It feels like when I first got into football.
Yeah.
It was post-World Cup, and I kind of got my head round the Premier League as it was then, just after 94, and just I was just getting into football, and this was the first time I went, oh, this is exciting, isn't it? FA Cup at Christmas, just after Christmas.
The football season,
a new competition.
The football season doesn't fully start in my mind until the BBC or ITV patronise a non-league manager who is also a mechanic.
Yeah. All right, if I see Ronnie Radford's goal.
Yeah, right.
Some sort of VT about Wimbledon.
Yeah, but what
which
a way
will definitely be coming up soon.
Well, Wimbledon will be on. They're going to Wembley, aren't they, for the World Cup? FA Cup. But what a great way to start the weekend!
Yeah, incredible.
Friday night under the lights.
Merseyside Derby.
Can we have Storm Eileen back or whatever it was? whip it up a bit.
Mane really sleepy because he slept on a plane.
So,
outrageous.
So do you? We expect Mane to feature, do we not? Even though he's had a rough night the night before.
Well, apparently so. I mean, who not? I mean, can Sam keep the Fab One at bay? Because it is going to be, well, Salah's injured, Coutinho's injured in massive inverted commas.
Yeah.
And Mane sleeping on a plane. So we could see one, possibly two, in this particular match. Because it's a big match. It's a big match.
But if you look at the depth Liverpool have, they've still got the options of Sturridge, Lallana, Oxlade-Chamberlain, who's out to prove himself at the moment and actually is in a system that suits him very well. And then Solanke, who I think his hold-up player has been excellent from what I've seen of him this season. So
that is damning with faint praise. That is damning with faint praise.
He's a young player that's just trying to find his way in a big team, and I think from what he's done, he's done well so far.
He's a young boy in a big team. Let's do it. I don't know
where you're going with it.
The groove.
La, 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 la.
I can't talk, but I can certainly sing. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
If the groove's there, you simply have to tap
into it. Yeah, no.
He's just following the groove.
Rhythm's going to get you, as they always say.
So you mentioned Coutinho injured in inverted commas. Mm. This thing that's reared its head this morning about Thomas Lamar, who's reportedly wants to go to Liverpool. And
did someone say Kendrick Lamar? I don't know.
So Thomas Lamar drank. is apparently, looks like he might be, there's a possibility he's going to go to Liverpool.
Right.
If that's the case, surely that means that Coutinho is almost done and dusted and he'll be on his way. But
I mean, you'd be surprised if he went in January, right?
I don't know.
There's talk of it.
Well, Pete made a good point. He asked. He said to me yesterday, why aren't Liverpool just doing a deal with Barcelona to agree for Coutinho's move in the summer?
Yeah, I think I was echoing Jamie Carragher's opinion as well. Yeah. But yeah, it is. Like, I mean, they've got that deal with Keita. He's coming in the summer. Mm. Why don't they have that sort of in place as well? I think they tried to move the Keita deal to January because obviously they need resources, let's say. But yeah.
I wonder if it's, you know, it's one thing for Leipzig to do that. And it's another thing for Liverpool to do it. It's a bit of a loss of face, isn't it?
Right.
Saying, all right, we'll keep on to this player for 6 months, but we accept that he's yours in the summer. I mean,
loss of face. It's Coutinho, though, mate. Like, he is a very gifted footballer.
Come on, this is Liverpool, though. You know, this is a huge institution. I don't know if they're going
to
want to do that.
Then they should have more power. They should have more power to kind of, you know, have these stipulations in the contract.
Who's got the most power in this room, Pete?
Me, because I can bench press 120.
And you can tap into the groove whenever you like.
I know, yeah. No, I have access to the groove tap whenever I want.
He doesn't put the measurement of weight in that. 120, what, ounces? Grams? It is a Friday night treat, Everton against Liverpool in the FA Cup. Everton are 7-1. With Bet365 to beat the Reds at Anfield. So I suppose it's Liverpool v Everton, technically speaking. £10 will return £80, including stake.
Well, what I would say is, check out this amazing stat. Nobody has ever scored a winning goal in a Merseyside Derby FA Cup tie at Anfield. 116 years old, that record.
Quite a lot of clauses in there, though, isn't there?
Mm.
Well,
yeah, right,
FA Cup tie at Anfield. FA Cup Derby at Anfield. No one's ever scored
it. If it's a stat that hasn't got a calendar year in it, I'm not interested.
Our record's getting clausier.
116 years.
Calendar years.
I usually hate those kind of stats, but I mean that is a wonderful piece of work. Cenk Tosun, he's in for Everton. It sounds like it's good. It'll be good to see him in the Premier League.
I hope that does happen because I think he's a very exciting player. I think he's got all. I know you sort of set yourself up for another Andre Vorin every time I say this.
Another Mitrovic.
but if you look, I mean, Tosun scored goals in the Champions League this season. Mm. He's a strong player. He's got two good feet. I think he'd be well suited. And more importantly, by the way, and I'm sure you guys would agree, perfectly what Everton need. I mean, they just so obviously need him.
I mean, I've been obviously watching Everton closely, as we all have this season, because of the expectations on them. And you know what? I've actually come to the conclusion that I think they need a striker.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Yeah, you reckon? Are you the man for the job?
Profoundly not.
No, yeah.
Well, it's time for us to hear from Jim Campbell. He's got some correspondence on his laptop, I reckon, probably.
I've got access to the correspondence.
Lovely.
So, yeah, I'm going to dive in. Hello there, Ramble.
Hello, mate.
Oh, hello there.
Enjoying that. Bloody love the show. Thanks. Bloody love you, mate. On the subject of important moments in sport missed, I'd like to rewind to the 30th of May, 1979. My dad was lucky enough to travel to Munich to watch our beloved, and at the time great, Nottingham Forest play in the European Cup final. Whoa. 5 minutes before half time, he thought he'd do the honourable thing of going to use the payphone to wish his mum and grandma, my grandma, a happy birthday. I mean, that's insane.
That's a baffling decision.
That's a crazy decision, and it would backfire. Just as she answered, the million-pound man Trevor Francis nodded home what would be the winner. The game ended 1-0, and my dad didn't see the goal for 2 weeks. Let's remember that was 1979. Oh, yes. What an incredible thing to miss, but that's not the end. Fast forward 35 years and one day. The setting is Wembley Stadium. Carl Froch is about to take on George Groves. Proud of Froch being from Nottingham, many of us went down. Glorious day on the booze. Not to be outdone by my dad's previous cock-up, in the 7th round, I went to the toilet, subsequently missing Froch knocking out Groves in the 8th. I since have been to many Forest games and have missed piss all. Cheers. And you like this, Big Ash from Nottingham.
Big Ash.
Oh, Big Ash.
Don't mess with Big Ash.
Sorry,
Ash,
mate. Cloud. That's a shame. Big Ash.
I wonder what's going to befall his son. Big Ash's son.
Yeah. Who knows?
It's the curse.
Some Nottingham-based calamity.
Ash curse.
Maybe a Mr. Winning Goal in the futuristic robot derby final.
Who knows? Or robot wars. Because let's be honest, in 30 years, that will be amazing. That'll be the best thing on TV.
I love robot wars now.
That is the natural crescendo to VAR, I think, in many ways.
Yeah, quite.
Another one. Hi, guys. I'm not sure if this is a real quote from Brendan Rodgers, but it's outstanding either way. Now, this was doing the rounds a little while ago, but we didn't mention it, and I think we need to.
Yes.
So he's talking about, you know, what he loves about being at Celtic and the season, and he says, the biggest thing is probably an old lady, Patsy, who's in her 70s. She stands outside our hotel every game we play. She wears her Brendan hat, her Brendan scarf. Her son came up to me not so long ago and said, thank you so much. You've given her a new lease of life. That makes me as happy as picking up any trophy.
We had to let her go in the end. She was rubbish. She was rubbish.
Do you reckon Brendan just reads his own press in the newspapers rather than on the online forums and on Twitter and
probably,
how he's
perceived?
Because nobody really mentions that he is the new David Brent kind of character.
Yeah.
Nobody really mentions that he's a ridiculous human being.
Sure, I wouldn't be surprised if you're
in the press.
If you're at the level of Rodgers, you're managing a big club and you're in that rarefied atmosphere. Would you even bother going online? I mean, I don't think I would. Why do you need to? I mean, you get news from the TV, the papers, or whatever.
Yeah.
Go online to a couple of respectable news sites, but you wouldn't be mucking around in this bog, would you, where we are?
Absolutely, very much so. That was from Will Peatfield from Guernsey, by the way. I've got another one here, Luke. This concerns you.
Okay.
Evening all.
I'll strap myself in, Jim.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Evening all. During Going for Gold on Tuesday's pod, I noticed Luke briefly mentioned that Nigel Martin moment when being interviewed by a newspaper in Bristol. Well, the student rag you generously referred to as a newspaper was my student rag, and I was one of the two pretend journalists who were interviewing you lovely lot. Just thought I'd email in to confirm the veracity of this story and also provide you with a clue that Luke was able to correctly guess from. I was born in Cornwall in August 1966, 12 days after England won the World Cup, to which, after a bit of banter about Pete's Cornish accent impression, Luke tentatively replied, it's not Nigel Martin, is it? Absolute bedlam ensued, sufficiently distorting our audio clip, making it unusable. Worth it, though. I hope this will be set as the gold standard for all future Going for Golds. Keep up the good work, Stefan Rolnick.
Not for the first time our boisterousness has destroyed a perfectly good piece of audio.
Indeed.
Yeah. I've never got one that quick since, though.
Not that many Cornwall footballers, is there, really?
I think that's probably the key to how I got it. But yeah, well, obviously, we play that every Monday, so you have to tune in next week to hear the next one. But
When Nigel Martin saved that ball, he went, I don't know how they talk. That was my impression of Cornwall.
Yeah. It was poor then. And it's
poor then, and it continues to be poor now.
Speller will be turning in his grave if he were dead.
Marcus isn't dead, we should clarify that.
Haven't heard from him for a little while. Last time we saw him, he was eating some meat in Argentina.
Well, when in Rome.
All right, then, we're going to have a little bit of chat regarding the Battle of Westeros, West Ham United versus West Brom, Bromwich Albion. But before that, Luke.
Yeah, Massimo Oddo flying at Udinese. Vincenzo Montella taking charge of Sevilla just ahead of a huge derby game. Arch-Turkish tough guy Fatih Terim taking over Galatasaray for a fourth time. If all that sort of thing floats your boat, go and download On the Continent, a European football podcast with James Horncastle and Andy Brassel. Search On the Continent wherever you get your pods. Pete, have you been listening?
I've been listening. You compared James Horncastle to a man off the telly I'd never heard of.
The BBC presenter of Coast, Neil Oliver.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
Right.
One's a celebrated archaeologist. And the other is James Horncastle.
There we go. Right, we'll be back with a bit of West Ham, bit of West Brom, bit of Swansea, bit of Spurs, bit of Spurs, bit of West Ham. Job done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, the Bet365 show. The Battle of Westeros happened. West Brom playing for a second time in 3 days.
Can I just say that that impression you did there of Chris Sutton actually sounded quite a lot like Jim Davidson.
Is that right?
Reminded me of Jim Davidson.
Wow. I can't remember how I did it now. How does Jim Davidson sound?
Just try and do Chris Sutton again.
Yeah. But more right wing. Yeah. West Brom were playing for the second time in 3 days. But they were beaten in injury time after Andy Carroll finished from a tight angle. There's something about Andy Carroll. I can't let it go. I love him too much.
Yeah.
I think he's good. He's a wrecking ball. He's like Fellaini, but with product. End product, my friends.
Hair product.
Yeah. Well, they both got hair product. Just different hair product. Yeah. Oh. And West Bromwich Albion are a genuinely awful team.
They're dreadful at the moment, aren't they?
And my fear for them, and I don't think I've mentioned this, but forgive me if I have. My fear for them is, what is Alan Pardew known for as a manager? It's not a joke. What is he seriously known for?
It's coming in, turning the team around, stabilising it for a bit quickly, as you say, and then it's sort of all falling apart down the old Pardew slide.
They're not buying it, though, are they?
No.
His usual kind of like camaraderie and laddishness hasn't really kind of gotten through.
Do you think maybe it's because this is so profoundly true of Pardew now that players know it? And simply don't.
I mean, players have been
faith
on the forums.
In, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Do they just not have faith in Pardew as a manager to the point where it's negating the bounce?
I mean, he's a ridiculous human being at the best of times. But I mean, you'd think that footballers are slightly less reconstructed, let's say, and they can sort of fall for stuff. But yeah,
I mean, it's rare I sort of ask this question because I try and get stuff prepared beforehand. Obviously, I can't remember the last time West Brom won a game.
No,
I can't remember. I in my mind, I've got nothing in there. I think they were quite spirited against Arsenal, where they got a point, which annoyed Jim at the time, and probably still annoys him now. Yep. But generally, they're very, very poor.
Their last five matches: lose, lose, draw, draw, lose.
Yeah,
terrible form.
That's
relegation form, and they're only second.
I think it goes way back further than that, Pete, as well. Way beyond that.
They're just a very blunt side. You don't know where those goals are coming from, and again, they just look a bit like fodder, don't they? You expect everyone they play to win
to beat them,
against
yeah.
them, really. Even the teams right down and below them, apart from maybe Swansea, are obviously picking up a little bit in terms of their performances.
John Carver's face is getting redder and redder.
They're going away to Exeter City, aren't they, in the FA Cup?
No, indeed.
That's a potential banana skin.
I mean, everything is a potential banana skin, isn't it? Training is a potential banana skin at the moment.
Maybe.
What, you think they might loot?
How have both teams lost? Yes. Skins and bibs. Woe, we're in skins, Alan.
Why isn't... can I go back to Andy Carroll briefly? Is that all right?
Should we just let him do this?
Just let me do this.
Do you need a couple
Why
of minutes?
Isn't Andy Carroll's injury situation more of a loss for England?
Because he doesn't play for England.
No, I'm saying I think that it's long accepted. Should be in the conversation, bearing in mind how well he's played for them in the past.
What I think
he's just not regarded in that frame anymore.
Because you can't rely on him. So to you know, you're just setting yourself up for a fall, aren't you? Which will then lead to a long-term injury. And I don't think it's only ever going to be a plan B for England.
Can I be more harsh than you, Jim?
Absolutely.
He hasn't played for England for over 5 years. He's not good enough, and he's never going to play for them again.
All right, well, that's problem solved, isn't it, Luke? Never mind. but he's always given West Ham something a little bit different, and he'll give any team
I would like to refer to the word always there.
When he's on the field.
Right.
When he's on the field. Yeah, I mean, West Brom, possibly quite rightly getting upset about playing for the second time in 3 days. Does Alan Pardew have a point? I mean, Spurs have got a similar situation. They played on Tuesday, they're going to be playing on a Thursday. Does this happen every year? I'm fairly certain it doesn't happen in such an egregious fashion.
It does happen every year, and I think every manager that complains about it has a point. It's just crazy. If you look,
is it not worse this year, Jim, because of the World Cup?
Possibly.
And is it not worse? And the Spurs situation, I believe, is because they want to play on New Year's Eve.
Right.
And the police said, we can't handle New Year's Eve in London and a Spurs game at Wembley.
Yes, yeah,
so if you want to play in Wembley, you can only have 40,000 tickets. And Spurs were like, well, we've got more than that, season ticket holders. That's not going to work, so they have to do it that way.
I feel
I don't have the facts in front of me, but I feel like it's been squeezed up because of the World Cup.
Perhaps. I mean, even so, though, we have this every year, and every team is having injury problems. A lot of them are muscle strains as well, which obviously comes from players being overworked. So it's undoubtedly a real thing, but it's just how it is, isn't it? And managers just have to get through it. But I can completely understand the frustration of that. It's like, at this point, your players are running on empty and they're all injured. Like, you know, when you're really sort of stuck there, in the mire, like Pardew is in his particular situation, it must be frustrating.
Well, Arsenal had to play a bit of a weakened back three yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
They wouldn't have been their first. I mean, Koscielny didn't play, for example.
No, Koscielny has a long-standing muscle problem that has to be managed anyway, so he's sort of technically always injured. But this kind of pile-up really puts a strain on that.
That makes him an even better player, in my opinion. He's still very good. Yeah. Can you imagine what it'd be like
an
if he was really fit?
Yeah. It's like Ledley King. He's like, his knee's just dust, and he's the best England defender we've had for ages. Right, a lot of poorly behaved fans this week, has to be said. Jake Livermore, obviously the big story in this particular match. He tried to reach a fan who made a remark about the death of his son, the sad death of his son. Also, Dunfermline, north of the border, Dean Shields, had fake eyes thrown on the pitch. It's not for the first time people have got in trouble for... Dean's actually only got one eye.
He lost his sight in one eye. Didn't he?
I kind of get the sense, people, that one-upmanship on social media and stuff and bants on Twitter and Facebook kind of contribute to this kind of thing.
Am I
massively wide of the mark on this new kind of like banter lad kind of identity?
I don't think it's new, but I think there's horrible little crevices of the internet where it can breed and sort of be unchecked. I mean, certain points of Reddit we've all seen, and like all kinds of different like little holes in the internet.
Like nobody turns up to a football match with a fake eye in their pocket just to show their friends. They do it to put it online and go, look at this, look at what I've done. Aren't I an edgy edgelord guy?
Absolutely. They haven't thought about, you know, that there being a human being behind that, perhaps because they're young. And also the idea of doing that sort of thing on the internet is you don't see the consequences of that. If you're really trying to hurt someone, you don't learn from what that does to that person and think, oh, I don't feel like a very nice person. I'm going to stop behaving like this. Worse than this, there are two Falkirk players who are currently banned for making comments to Dean Shields about his eye in a previous game. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. And I guess the difference between the two incidents, obviously both bad, the Dean Shields one, that they've planned that ahead of time.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
mean,
the
West Ham one, you'd like to think that guy's got, I'm obviously not defending it because it was horrific, but the guy's got a little bit over-effusive and overzealous and got carried away with himself. And
had that information in his head. One of the things that kind of like happens, and it does sadly happen from time to time, but like, to have that in the forefront of your mind is insane.
There's a really, and it is worth pointing out on that Jake Livermore incident that West Brom have said they're very happy with how West Ham handled it. They identified the fan very quickly, ejected him and banned him. Jake Livermore said they don't want to make it a police incident. He's happy with how it's handled. Of course, very upset about it. But there's a really good book about called Among the Thugs by a guy called Bill Buford, who I think was a New York Times journalist in the 80s. And he came over and he followed around football fans, hooligans, essentially, in the dark old days of the 70s and 80s, I believe. And he draws a really interesting sort of psychological difference between the way people behave in crowds and the way people behave individually.
Yeah.
And this thing that's happened with Livermore is if you're interested in that type of behaviour, just because you like to read about the psychology of individuals who behave in that way, that's a brilliant book to read, because there's absolutely no way that guy would have done that one-on-one
on the street.
Live more on the street.
Yeah.
Because he just wouldn't have done it. So it's terrible incident. I'm pleased it was dealt with so swiftly by West Ham. They deserve credit for that, and hopefully the guy will never be seen again at a football match.
Mm. And, well, back on the pitch, it is Shrews versus West Ham at the weekend. It's the Murray derby.
Tough game for them. It's a tough game for them, you know, because Shrewsbury are doing well. They're okay. I'm going to see them at Fratton Park at the end of the month, so I'll see what they're all about. But they're a good team. They're 3-1 to beat West Ham in the Cup this weekend. They're having a good season so far. With Bet365, that is, of course, £10 returns, £40 including stake.
Mm. Well, there we go. Let's move on to Spurs. Obviously, the title is over for Pochettino's boys, but there was a football match happening on Tuesday. Swansea City 0 Spurs 2.
Biblical condition,
yeah. They really were.
Amazing, wasn't it?
One of my highlights of that game, sorry, was when Dele Alli scored. And do you see the amount of rain that just came off the net? It was like an exploding water balloon. It was brilliant.
Where the water lives.
Yeah.
It's the first time in a very long time, certainly in the Premier League, I can remember watching the game thinking, I think this is going to be called off.
Yeah. Mm. It's rare, because there's such great drainage in the Premier League. You know.
Drainage is world class, Pete.
World class, mate.
Say what you like about the amount of quality coaches we produce in England, but do not come to me with complaints about our drainage skills.
Do you remember in like the 90s, where I think probably mentioned this about 3 weeks ago on the show, but Chelsea's pitch was just, Stamford Bridge was just a sand pit.
It used to be.
It was insane.
It was known as the potato field, wasn't it?
Right.
It was that bad for a time.
But
I mean, I think they had real problems with getting enough sunlight on it or something like that.
Right, okay.
Pompey's has got a camber in the middle of it.
So I'm saying
this on the continent this week. Mm. If you sit at the front of the stand, so you're the first row.
Yeah. You can't see the boots of the player.
You can't see the ball the other side of the pitch.
Amazing.
Isn't there a one
well, that
in Brazil?
That is the drainage, though, isn't it?
That's the defender's excuse, anyway.
Isn't there one in Brazil that has a tree in it?
That rings a bell. Does ring a bell. One else.
I mean, that is a severe impairment.
Very much so. I quite like the novelty of it, though.
Unless it's in the home goal. You'd be loving that.
Maybe this is the future. There'll be obstacles on the pitch as well. Just mix it up.
Make it
well, Harry Kane has had a terrible 2018.
Yeah, rubbish.
Dreadful.
Awful.
Dreadful. Started, well, he was on the bench, missing out on scoring 3 successive hat-tricks in English League football. A feat not managed since 1946. Yeah. That was a start. I mean, that's one of those ones that I hate.
Do you know who that was in 1946?
It was Stephen
Archibald Vanderbottom.
I don't either, but I think Marcus would have known that.
Yeah, he would have.
Because he would have known that. He's not here, is he?
No.
I'm the new dad.
He'll text me that later.
I'm your new dad.
But yeah, Kane had a bit of an illness, didn't he? Cold.
He had a cold. Everyone's had a dose of that this Christmas, haven't they?
But Pete, listen, you do not want to be playing in that sort of weather with the cold.
Absolutely.
No, he's the sniffles. Oh, he got the sniffles.
Just had to make do with an absolutely world-class assist, didn't he? He's all right.
Well, it was miserable, absolutely miserable. But Swansea, it looked like one of those matches where Swansea play so deep and they know how to kind of stifle play in the 18-yard box and Spurs still managed to find a way through. So that bodes well for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Llorente's goal
not for Swansea, offside let's
for them, which is, it must be incredibly frustrating for Swansea. But obviously, you know, Spurs deserve the win. But Swansea look better, don't they? They've got a bit more attacking verve. And Carvajal has come in and I guess just said to them, look, we're an attack-minded squad. Let's use that. Let's just be a bit more confident. Let's go for it in terms of trying to get ourselves out of this. Because
it's a that's more been enjoyable way to play as
absolutely.
Well, surely.
But Swansea have been a bit like just a bit plodding this season. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they've taken all their goals out of their team.
Absolutely,
you've literally almost surgically removed the goals from their team. Mm.
But there's no reason that you can't put that back in. You can't use the impetus to go, look, any of us can score a goal. Let's just go for this. We're going to fight our way out of this.
But the problem is, Jim, some of the players aren't as good.
Well, very much so. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
That's what's hurting them.
Very much so.
I guess the issue was always going to be, the question was always going to be, can Carlos Carvajal improve them? And if so, can he improve them enough? Now, the problem is, Sigurdsson's gone and Llorente's gone, and that's really all they've got. That's all they had going forward. I mean, they'll be able to scrap around and pick up results here and there, but you can't see, despite the fact that Carvajal's improved them a bit, which wasn't, being totally honest, wasn't that difficult. I don't think he can improve them anywhere near enough. They scored something like 13 goals in the Premier League this season.
Their goal difference is minus 21 and they're rooted to the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
And we talk about like the mid-table and the bottom of the league being up for grabs effectively. Everyone can beat everyone else. It's quite tight. Swansea, I think, is probably one of the exceptions to that particular rule because they've given themselves such a hill to climb, such a mountain to climb.
you know, I think Swansea and West Brom will be relegated. And I think you've got one other club to choose from for the third one, I would say. I actually think, I know people are going to laugh because I'm a Portsmouth fan, I think Southampton might be in real trouble. If you looked at the newspapers this morning, it's sort of gone under the radar, but the chairman at Southampton gave Pellegrino a vote of confidence after the Crystal Palace game. Right. So, he's the man for the job. Shane Long came out in the newspapers after scoring his first goal in almost a year, saying, the confidence in the squad is so low, it's really difficult. We've got to try and get our way out of it. They're in big trouble, Southampton.
Absolutely. I mean, so that it doesn't keep going under the radar, should we implement some sort of Luke Moore Southampton radar?
Yeah.
Just because we wouldn't want any Southampton fans to miss out on what's going on there, would we?
Should I come in every day?
Yeah.
Every day.
Southampton Corner, just a little mini 5-minute podcast just to pre-see what's been going on.
Let's do it like the shipping forecast. Yes. We'll call it the Southampton forecast. Yeah.
Southampton forecast, terrible.
Danger of relegation, high.
If West Brom get relegated, will Pardew leave it to Carver to get them relegated?
Yeah, again,
He'll leave. Just leave them. And then Rafa will take over two matches before the end of the season.
No, what about Pardew says to Carver, tell you what, I'll take care of Premier League relegation. You want to do Championship relegation?
Yeah, exactly.
Poor old West Brom.
Dreadful. We were talking about the Spurs situation. Spurs are going to be playing West Ham tonight at Wembley Stadium. So it'll be interesting to see how that one pans out. You'll know by tomorrow. So.
And then do they not play Wimbledon at home?
In the FA Cup, that's correct.
30 Wimbledon. Years after Wimbledon's final at Wembley.
Not bad, is it? Wimbledon back at Wembley 30 years on.
How do you expect us to stop saying the word narrative, all those people out there complain, when football throws up that sort of narrative?
I know, right?
Can't wait for the VTs.
Have they been to Wembley since? Probably for a playoff or something? I don't know. The crazy
Laurie Sanchez against Liverpool. Yeah, all of it.
John Fashanu.
Tell you what, Davison Sanchez looks like part of the crazy gang at the moment. He's lucky not to be sent off, wasn't he? They subbed him off. They did what they do at Sunday League. Sub him off.
Get rid of him. His head's gone. Yeah. Still crying.
Probably covered a hell of a lot of ground on the bench. He's so quick.
I know.
Best of the rest of the draws in the FA Cup, I think it's fair to say. Man City versus Burnley and Man United. I've written Man United versus Burnley. That's not true.
They're playing Derby.
They're playing Derby. So there we go. That's another Friday nighter, isn't it?
Pete,
or possibly Saturday morning.
Any interest? I mean, I thought this would be right up your street. Any interest in the Michael Essien statue?
I am big on this statue.
Yeah,
it looks. Somebody said it looks a bit like, it looks like Grace Jones because he's got big old cheekbones.
I think it looks good.
I think it's great because a lot of people have been tweeting us about this, comparing it to the Ronaldo statue and the Maradona one, the Michael Jackson one, all the various ridiculous football statues. But I think this one is supposed to look abstract, isn't it?
Well, it's
supposed
stylized,
to look like a cartoon, yeah.
It was interesting that it doesn't have, I don't think it's got a club badge, but it's got, sorry, club badge. I said badge.
Yeah. You didn't.
Club badge. But it's got Samsung written on it.
Yeah.
Which I quite like.
Yeah.
And also, the thing that I find weird is that, has it been there for a while? Because his forehead looks a bit scratched. It looks like it's been there for a while.
It was one of those, from what I read.
It's an Accra, isn't it?
Yeah. Accra. It wasn't like announced or anything. It was there. There was no presentation or anything like that.
It looks like a very. There's no ceremony into where it's located as well. The picture that's been taken.
The Maradona one in Calcutta is absolutely dreadful.
Yeah,
it looks terrible.
Did we talk about that? It looked like the one of those video game Lemmings from back in the day. Remember Lemmings?
I love the thought of just commissioning a statue of someone and just leaving it somewhere. Yeah. I think perhaps we should do this. Get in touch with your suggestions,
Anthony Gormley style. Yeah, there we go.
Preston. I want to talk about Preston's Kevin O'Connor.
Oh, yeah.
He popped over to see his fam in Ireland, I believe, and he won €1 million on the Irish lottery. What a story.
Well, it's better than that. He was given it as a present by an uncle.
Oh, is that right?
Sometimes people give lottery tickets as presents in cards.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and he actually was back in England by the time he discovered this.
Right.
I
think his mum had seen that the winner was from the area, so she called him up and said,
check your ticket.
Check your ticket. Yeah, and I think he took ages to even do it. And he realised he'd won this money before whatever game they had and just sort of had to like really quickly put it out of his mind.
But the problem is the football he plays at championship level, obviously, and he he's a young man.
Yeah.
So he probably has never had that amount of money in his life, but we assume because he's a footballer. Oh, this is another piling on a lot.
Drop in the ocean.
Yeah, a young championship footballer. Who knows what they'd earn? I'm sure it's probably very decent, but he's going to have enjoyed that. It's a Merry Christmas.
I wish I'd seen him play, and I haven't. And I wish he wasn't very good, which I'm sure he is, because then I could go, oh, he's won the lottery, getting a contract at Preston. Have you seen him?
Hey! Oi, oi!
But I can't, so I have to manufacture it.
Fantastic stuff. Luke Mayo, it's time at this point of the show, we usually do the best bet with Bet365. What is it this week?
Yes, it is time for that. I'm obviously been kicking and screaming out of the hot seat for my poor performance time around. So step forward, Mr. Ed Langley, who says, "Hi, Ramblers. I love third round weekend, and being a supporter of a championship side, I'm looking forward to a few EFL sides nicking wins or at least replays off their more fancied opponents. One fixture that particularly stands out is the Mourinho-slaying Bristol City up against the out-of-form Watford. My best bet for this week, with Bet365, is Bristol City to either win or draw at Vicarage Road, paying 8-5 with Bet365, meaning your stake of £50 will return £130, including stake, for Prostate Cancer UK. Hopefully we'll add some intrigue to an already intriguing weekend and raise some money for a good cause." Thanks for that, Ed. You're absolutely right. The odds are correct. £50 on that with Bet365 will return £130, including stake. All proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK, and you must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. So that's Bristol City to either win or draw at Vicarage Road this weekend in the Cup.
Good luck, that man in the hot seat. Can we have, Jim Campbell, some looking ahead to the weekends,
please? We certainly can, Peter Donaldson.
Because it's a good weekend of football. Coming up, FA Cup weekend.
Like all of them are, but this one in particular. Mark Hill's going to kick us off, saying, right, Arsenal getting a dodgy penalty given against them and Wenger increasing the meltdown threat level to DEFCON 2. I think that's it. I think this might run and run.
It would be. I mean, I know you're an Arsenal fan, Jim, but take yourself out of that sphere of influence for a moment. If they do get like a really dodgy one against them this weekend, it would be funny.
If this was happening to Spurs, I'd be laughing along with everyone else. Or any club. Absolutely. Yeah.
Arsenal are a pretty good cup side, though. They can usually kind of course their way to the semis, at least.
Indeed. We shall see. So there's Ian May is saying, "I'm looking forward to seeing if Jose takes the FA Cup seriously. Will he play a full-strength side in the press conference? Or will Nicky Butt be up there, as Jose needs to be rested for next week's big press conference versus Mark Hughes?" Now, perhaps a clue to how seriously Jose might take this comes here from Gaz Smart, who says, "Looking forward to Man United's first non-televised FA Cup game in 12 years.
Yeah.
A run spanning 58 games. Yeah. Surely a fitting indictment on Jose Mourinho's attractive brand of football."
Is that true?
Mourinho will moan about that, probably. Here's a Mostradamus prediction for you. I think Mourinho will be gone by June.
Gone by June?
That's an official
Mostradamus prediction.
I'm putting it out there.
Okay.
So you're not saying end of May, just June?
He'll be gone by June.
There's been reports of, you know, people whispering, as much as this counts as a report, of you know, the idea that he might leave in the summer. So, and he's dousing the flames of that, but it's out there.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll go even further. I reckon Mourinho will leave Man United and he'll be gone before the final game of the season.
Come on!
That's the biggest one yet. If you pull that off, it's be a masterstroke.
It's too spectacular. It's too much of a spectacular climax. Because his game is the press conference. His game is, you know, the during the season kind of flip out, isn't it? So. Yeah. I think it's too public.
Know, but it happened with Chelsea, you know, twice. Mm-hmm. He can make his position untenable.
If anyone can make his position untenable, it's Jose.
Right. We've got one more from Phil Gidman, who frankly needs to calm down. Phil says, "Party popper emoji, party popper emoji, plane emoji, plane emoji. Mounting the party plane to Mother Russia. No, I don't mean get inside. I mean ride that bad boy like a standard pleb. I mean straddling it like John Wayne with a pocket full of whistles and cheap shit that I've collected from Duff Christmas crackers. Would have been the double decker, but Captain Spelsy struggles to gather the finances with the Paradise Paper scandal. Let's smash Group G. Go to bed, Phil."
Calm down. I can't figure out whether he's had too much Christmas pot or not enough.
Yeah.
Or too much Christmas cheese, possibly, and he's writing that in his sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Something isn't right.
You can never have too much Christmas cheese.
Well, we are very much the Christmas cheese of the podcasting world, I think it's fair to say. Well, we're done. We're pretty much done, aren't we? Yeah, let's get out of here, for crying out loud. Thank you so much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. A sentence I could not say at the start of the show, but I've eased myself in. Mm-hmm. I'm ring ready, so to speak.
Very, very pleased for you now, mate.
Well done, mate.
Don't be rude. I can't do two things. I can't host and press the buttons. It's very confusing, this damn thing.
It's Chris!
No! Oh my god. Shall we end like that or shall we end like this? Let's get out of here, people. Thank you so much for joining me, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Luke Moore.
Got there in the end, didn't we, Pete?
We did. Marcus is not back for another week. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show. Sush.
The sushu.
Sushu, which I think might be wine. Welcome to the Football Ramble Pew. I just...
What was that even going to be?
I don't know.
Pube show?
Pube show.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Pube show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.